sein Stil.
Okay, the Gemara says on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we were discussing the toldos of Shemitah. So what I thought we were going to do is I would organize the rules that we came up with last week, discuss them a little bit more. I gave you out both source sheets last week's and this week's. Last week's has Ritvan, which will serve useful to us. This week's has basically two parts to it. This week's has it first. How are we going to figure out what each of these cases means? And then, yeah, we'll put up the recorder. The recorder will be a hacker. The recorder will be a hacker. What? Fine. So what I figured I'll organize into, and I realized I just forgot something very obvious. Is first we have sort of how are we going to get to definitions of these various toldos, various melechos hakarka that are usher on Shemitah. Again, we're going to discuss midoraisa, midrabanan, but it seems to be midoraisa at first, and then we say no, it's only midrabanan. And then, basically, all of the Hebrew and Aramaic entries from various different dictionaries as to what those verbs mean. Okay, we're trying to find what the verbs mean. Some very interesting points. It's going to be less of a classic Gemara Iyun Shir, a little bit of language, but there are going to be important points within the sugya that will help us clarify. So just to start off, I made a list of klalim, which are our rules for how exactly we are going to figure out what each of the melachos are. Okay, now the list of melachos, you can actually see them also on the source sheet. There's nikush, idur, kisuach, kirsum, zirud, pisug, zibul, piruk, ivuk, ishun, and kishkush. Okay, those are all the different melachos. You can see them by the different bolded entries, where I had the entry from the actual dictionary, so I use that. But if not, I just put it in bold myself. And let's start with the klalim that we have. Okay, so first of all, we know from the Gemara, and I missed the most important one, we know from the Gemara that all of the cases that we have here, okay, all of the cases that we have here are all going to be toldos of Shemitah, okay? Which means that if we're trying to find elsewhere what else we know is usher on Shemitah, this is a good help to us. I would note additionally, they are split up, and I didn't write this because it's not true about all of them, meaning it's true about all of them except for Kishkush, perhaps, as Gemara will discuss, but most of them are, as the Gemara says, lo kol malacha shebesadcha v'lo kol malacha shebekarmecha, okay? I did put that in Gimel. Okay? As opposed to being relevant to one of them. So I've actually put that in Gimel. It's not from the Gemara. As we see, it's going to be Machlokas Rishonim. So again, Aleph, Kala Bavasim Toldos Al Shemitah. Beis. As we noted, the Gemara splits them up into different groups. It says again, Minayin L'Nikush L'Ider L'Kisuach, and then has a break. Minayin Mikarsman Mizardin Mifaskin, break. Okay, ma'afkin ma'ashnin, mefarkin mezablin, break. Okay, it's broken down into groups, says the Ritva, because each of those groups has some stuff in common. Okay, so we know that each of the groups have something in common. Then we have the discussion of, and this we didn't get into so much last time, I just want to go over it. The Gemara says as follows, right? Let's pick up from Yachol, about 15 lines down. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 lines down. Yachol lo yekashkesh tachas azesim. Everyone with me? Says the Gemara, Yachol lo yekashkesh tachas azesim. One might think can't do kishkush under the zayas. V'lo ye'adur tachas agafanim, you can't do idur under the gefen. V'lo ye'mal nekayim mayim, you can't fill up these nekayim with water. V'lo yase ugios legfanim, and you can't make ugios around your vines. Talmud lomar sadcha lo sizra. The Torah tells us, don't plant your field. Zriya bichlal haisa. Zriya would already be included. V'lama yatzisa, why did it specifically taken out? Lehakishe lea, to compare it to it, lomar lecha, to tell you. Mazriya miyuchedes, avarosh v'sadav shebekerem, just as zriya is something which is, and we read it, equally relevant to the field and the vineyard. Of kol she avodah v'sadav shebekerem, so to everything that is some in the avoda, that is in the sada and the kerem, is going to be aser, and let's says Rashi, right? Kigon kolhani prati, like all of the cases that we listed, yatsa kishkush v'idur, which excludes kishkush idur, mayim minakayim v'ugiel she'enan b'shnehen. Says Rashi, what's the idea? If it has to be relevant to both. It has to be relevant to both. If it's relevant to both, it is aser. If it's relevant to only one, it is mutter. Okay, this is the Rashi. So too in Tosfos. Tosfos asked a bit of a question, but deals with it anyways. Tosfos understood the Gemara this way as well. Av kol shebesed ashebe karen, top Tosfos, everyone see it, top left. Okay? Says the Gemara, v'chol hani avodos dila el, and all of the avodos that we mentioned earlier, meaning all those lists of this group and this group and this group and this group, Noah goes bein besado bein bekerem. They're relevant in both locations. Now says Tosfos, 1 second. Vafilu sheyesh mehen she'ein ata nohagin kein. He says, well, maybe then this is something that can change over time. How can we use the criteria of what is practiced in both locations if maybe agricultural practices change? In which case, that's going to mean that what used to be besad of acharim is no longer besad of acharim. So is that now going to make it mutter? Or vice versa, something now is practiced, yes, in both in the Sada and the Kerem, is that going to make it usher? Says Tosfos, Yesh Lomar, Shebimikom on Ayuosin Kach, Uregilin La Sosan Besad of a Kerem. Says, well, yes, it depends on their places, and it's something you can see that's easily done Besad of a Kerem. So now that we have the list won't change, but that in fact was the criteria. It was the criteria. Okay, so he's saying it was Nikva at some time by Chazal in Eretz Yisrael, this is what people were doing. Fine. That was the status. Now, this is Rashi and Tosfos. If you look last week at the Ritva, we mentioned it briefly. Mazriya Miuchedes, smack in the middle of the Ritva. Mazriya Miuchedes. Last week, so there's a little small one here. Okay, so Mazriya Miuchedes, smack in the middle. Mazriya Miuchedes, Avoda. Okay? Says the Ritva. First of all, he doesn't quote the rest of the sentence. What's the rest of the sentence? What does the Gemara say? Mazriya Miuchedes?
All of the work.
What's the Gemara say? Mazriya Miuchedes, finish the sentence. Mazriya Miuchedes, we just read it a second ago. We just finished reading it. Mazriya Miuchedes, finish the sentence. Avoda Shebesada Veshebekerem. What does he not say? He just says Mazriya Miuchedes. He doesn't write the words Avoda Shebesada Veshebekerem. He doesn't even write Vechule, right? Like he does at the end. So look at what the Meiri, look at what the Ritva says. Perush Shehi Avoda Regila. It's a common avoda, very strange. Kind of like what Tosfos says, right? Regilin la'asosan. Utsricha lesados. And it's needed for the sados. Ulehashbiach. And to make the fruits better. Afkol v'chule. And then he doesn't tell us what's going on. So there are two ways to read this ritva. There's a famous criticism. I don't even know if I can have this here anymore. I didn't realize I put this on top of the recorder. I apologize if the last few minutes were faded. I didn't realize there was a paper on top. B'mechilas kvod, everyone involved in the following story. I think I'll still post it because it's relevant. Kiyadua, there is a big fight, hopefully just in Torah, between Rabbi Meiselman and Rabbi Slifkin. Rabbi Meiselman and former Ashiva and Rabbi Natan Slifkin of the various fame of the zoo, of various other things, various other books, regarding certain deos of Chazal that relate to science. Okay, much, much bigger than we can go into here, and I have no intention of putting myself in the middle of a machlokas. But what is interesting is, there's a whole discussion within it. Is it better to reread Chazal in a way that makes Chazal correct, thereby rejecting all the way the Rishonim and Achronim have always learned this Chazal? Or is it better to say all the Rishonim and Achronim knew what they were talking about, and Chazal were using something antiquated? Okay? It comes up in regards to science, so we say, really, Chazal were basing themselves on old science that was relevant and available in their day. And therefore, when Rashi explained the Gemara, Rashi was right. Chazal did really believe in Nechvesechva, spontaneous generation. And all the Rishonim were right. And you want to say a new pshat in the Gemara, that's a very nice pshat. But that's not what the Gemara means. Whereas the other side would say, no. The Gemara knew, of course, the scientific reality, based on whatever indicators they may have, maybe because they derive it from a pasuk or something like that. Chas v'chalila, to say the pasuk that Chazal derived this from the pasuk incorrectly. So therefore, even though Rashi says it was based on this false scientific premise, Rashi got it wrong. The Ramban got it wrong. And who got it right? Now that we know the scientific reality that Chazal knew, we're able to interpret this in the correct way. Okay, this was a big part of discussion. I'm not doing it justice to lay it out like this, but I just thought it was fascinating because of this ritva. There's two ways to read this ritva. One way to read this ritva is, okay, Mazri Amiucheres, okay, is like the person does in the Rav Kook ritvas, the Masada Rav Kook ritvas, is he says, erase the ritva and fill in the Gemara. Okay? He says like this, Mazri Mechenes, he changes the word Ula Hashbiach to Ula Kerem. Ula Hashbiach and Ula Kerem have absolutely no resemblance. Now, it is a little bit, it does seem a little bit out of place, but you could also say, oh, maybe Pirush was Vechule, Mazri Amiucheres, or even the Pirush wasn't there. Mazri Amiucheres, she avoda regila tzricha, lissados Ula Kramim, meaning it's a read-through. It says the word Ula Hashbiach, meh. Okay? This is one way to read it. Others read it, including among them, I believe, many Gedolei Achronim, and I was shocked that Mosar of Kukrit Vah didn't even mention this. I saw it in the, I took a picture of it. I didn't get a chance to read it through properly because I understood this myself when I read it. I read it like they did, but I saw it in the Masifta. I went to see the Masifta at school to see what it said, and I had a whole discussion, Chazanesh, Reb Chaim, like this, like that. That the Meiri is saying the emphasis is not on avoda shebesad v'cherem, it's avoda miyuchedes, mazria miyuchedes. It's something which is unique. Now, what is unique about zria? Okay. So there's some balance over here between finding zria and everything else. What is it? Is it critical? Okay. Or is it, again, just something that will make more, meaning it won't necessarily cause a loss. Okay, the way to read the ritva in the second way, even though it's hard to find the right balance, is, okay, and I'll see if I can pull up that quote. It was a great quote, what you had over here. I'll just read it to you for a second. I just handed it in my camera over here. I apologize I didn't have it on the sheet because I saw it late and I couldn't put anything on the sheet with all these crazy, things going on with my computer. Where'd it go over here? Where'd it go? I took a picture. Oh, I remember. There it is. Okay. Listen to what he says, okay? Amna machazen ish kasa v'dasa ritzvashal daito kavanas ha-braisa shizriya v'chein kol ha-avodos ha-menuyas betchilas ha-braisa in avodos shenasos zodam makelem u-mo'ilos lahem avalavodos ha-menuyas besofa raisa einon avodos shemu'ilos zodam lakerem el-arakin hechshur la-avoda bahem. Okay? That these last ones, those are hechsher. They're not actual avodos, they're preparation for avodos. So it has to be miyuchad, it has to be an avoda. That's the way he reads the ritva, that it has to be tzricha lesados ule hashbiach. Okay? In this case, does it have to be common? Does it have to be common to a Sada and Kerem? No, it does not, according to the Ritva. Again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the way they read our Gemara now. Did the Ritva have a different Girsa? Possibly not. Okay? That's one way to read the Ritva, like Masada of Cook, is say, erase the Ritva, fix the Ritva to suit the Gemara. The other way is says, no, read the Ritva for what he says, and we'll interpret the Gemara, or we'll say it a different Girsa than the Gemara, or something else, but this is authentic Ritva. That's why I was making the comparison to the Rabbi Slifkin, again, revise them in discussions, but ultimately, what's going on over here is, it's possible to read the Ritva in another way. Interestingly, maybe you could even also read the Ritva that these things, again, will not cause a loss if you don't do them. Meaning, there's nothing lost there. And it's hard to say that about Zriya particularly, because Zriya, obviously, without Zriya, you're not going to have anything. But also, Zriya is something new. Meaning, it's not preservation. Another way to read the Ritva would be, Ritva says preservative acts are permitted. Okay, preservative acts are permitted. However, acts which improve yields are not permitted. Again, preservation, yes. improvement. No, you could read it like that as well. That's how I wanted to read it a little bit last week. Ultimately, though, the point is the Ritva doesn't necessarily agree with Rashi and Tosfos. If the Ritva does not agree with Rashi and Tosfos, then we do not need to translate all those words as being equally relevant to a sudden karam. Now, the truth is, so far all of these, okay, so far all of these, are not 100%, because ultimately we don't know the exact agricultural practice. I looked, I could not find any academic suggestions on these, certainly not in an orderly manner. There was nothing in academic articles. Even looked in the places where you'd expect them to quote scholars, such as the Koran, the Steinsaltz. They just quote Rishonim. Sansino quotes Rishonim. Now, sometimes they maybe have their own translations, but ultimately, there hasn't been that I was able to find clear scholarly research done to identify each of these things beyond what's found in the Rishonim. He does have a number of things from different Rishonim. There are also a couple of Rishonim that I didn't look up that I saw were quoted in different places. Rav Shlomo ben Hayasom, his Perush on Morkata, and I don't have the Michtam. I didn't look at either. But we have most of the opinions between all the places that I did look. We definitely cover the vast majority of the opinions. Okay? Now, also at the end, we had the Gemara over there. The Gemara said that there were two types of kishkush, right? If you jump down a little bit, this was the last Gemara we did last week, to smack in the middle of the page, right? Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, everyone with me? Just past halfway down, smack in the middle. Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Rav Ukva Bar Chama said, Trei kishkushe havu. There are two types of kishkush. Chad avruye ilane v'chad situme pile. One is avruye ilane and one is situme pile. What is avruye ilane? Okay, it makes more. Okay, it's not just preservation, it's improvement. What is situme pile, says Rashi? Shemisasem bika'im shel ilan. You're plugging up holes. Holes could ruin it, okay? And that is, right, okay, he has, I see over here, the Bach has a comment, but we're not going to get into that, but ultimately, says the Gemara, okay, avruye ilan aser. Why is avruye ilan aser? Because it's an improvement. Stume pili shari, why? Because again, it's a pseda, and you're just withholding yourself from pseda. Again, I might argue they could even read the Ritva that way. The Ritva in the previous Gemara that we just read, that even the Ritva is saying the same criterion, but you don't necessarily have to say that, I acknowledge, but certainly this is one of the guiding rules, says the Tosfos HaRash. This has got to be one of the guiding rules for our definition. Tosfos HaRash asks on some of Rashi's Perushim, how could Rashi say that? This is clearly something that is preventing loss. Okay, and we'll see that there are many like that. Okay, finally, we talked about last week also, it's possible there are different girsos. Mizablin versus Miyablin. Another thing, Mifaskin with a kuf versus a gimel. Okay, now, where do we look for these things? There's the Yerushalmi, there's Mishnayos, there's Braisos that have these cases. There's Perushi Rishonim on the Shas, on Toras Kohanim, and various other places. So let's begin together to go through all of the different possibilities, bearing in mind these rules. And you can compare it to see what people actually said, okay? We're not going to go to Zimur. Zimur, we talked about in the past, definitely means pruning, okay? Even though the Mefarish said specifically of vines, but let's start from Nikush, okay? Says the Gemara, again, Minayin l'Nikush, the first set is right up here, okay? Minayin l'Nikush, Idur, and Kisuch. So we've got three words, Nikush, Idur, and Kisuch. What is Nikush, okay? Nikush, okay, means to weed, okay? It seems that that's actually pretty straightforward. Nikush is a form of weeding. Now, what type of weeding? Because we did say last time that there may be different types of weeding. Okay, weeding here seems to be, okay, take a look right at the bottom here. Okay, the Samaritan usage. So this basically is taken from, I didn't tell you where this comes from. So there's two things that I took. The ones that are in white, with the white background, are from Alatorah. Alatorah, which is a tremendous resource for learning Tanakh, compiled a intense dictionary and concordance. So as part of their concordance, they have an intense dictionary based on BDB, Brown Driver Briggs, which was the sort of considered this gold standard for translation of Tanakh words in the academic community was by a bunch of goyim. Yeah, it does. Brown Driver Briggs, it does. But it's considered academically a strong point. Now, obviously, many Rishonim also made Sfarim on explaining Sharashim, but theirs is in English language considered very authoritative. I learned with someone who is a professor of not Hebrew per se, but Tanakh, and similar types of things. And for them, BDB is like God. So Kel, the second one, is called Complete Aramaic Lexicon, or Comprehensive, sorry, Aramaic Lexicon. And what these people did, it's run by Hebrew Union College. Neither of these comes from Big Tzadikim. So what they do, Kel, they're much better. They took every single type of Aramaic, every single dialect of Aramaic, and you'll actually see over here, JBA, Jewish Babylonian Aramaic, Sam, Samaritan Aramaic. Okay, I don't remember what Gal is, but Syriac, all the different types of Aramaic, and they took all the dictionaries, including Jastrow, and they all stuck them together into one set of definitions, and you can type in the roots in these type of characters, that type of characters, unbelievable. They also digitized a huge number of texts in Aramaic, but what's fascinating about it is actually, if you go to any of these entries, you can click and see the page in Jastrow. It's right there. It's linked. It's an online thing. So again, these are based on, again, ultimately Jewish sources, but they themselves are definitely either not Jewish or very not from. Again, Hebrew Union College is not from the most orthodox circles, shall we say. It's highly Reform, in fact. But nevertheless, they did a great job of compiling all of these definitions, which helps shed light on understanding. Now, since this is from the times of the Mishnah, so definitely a preference for Hebrew roots if we have them, but often Aramaic can shed light on what a Hebrew root may have meant if we don't know of a Hebrew root like that. And also sometimes Arabic sometimes comes from Hebrew itself. Definitely worth looking at. So Nikush is to weed. What's interesting is the Samaritan usage, okay, where it has in Samaritan it means menakesh bekarnav, which means to gore, is based on the late Hebrew to bite. Okay, what is nakesh? So maybe, perhaps, this is my shita in linguistics. Linguistics is very fluid. You can get away with saying a lot of things in linguistics. So one of the things you get away with saying is what's called transposition, to transpose things, switching letters. How do you say to bite in Hebrew? Nashach. So how do you say nakesh? It's like, kind of like nashach. And again, some people say this is biderach drash, some people say this is biderach pshat, and then you have other people that say, oh, everything comes from two-letter roots, and things like that. But anyways, this is a very interesting idea. The Syriac examples rendered to beat in the lexicons should be understood to be stems of kasas or kashash, which is a separate entry. They don't think it's part of to weed. But there was this idea to bite. And if you think about it, that's what weeding is, right? You take a bite out of the ground. Okay? And as we said, this type of weeding, okay, is specifically, right, the me'aker ha'ikarim min akarka. Rashi says you've got to take out the root. You've got to bite. Okay? Like, really take out the roots with it. I think that's a bite, sort of sounds like that. Although, one could argue that maybe not. But anyways, fine. That is lenakesh. Okay, what comes after nikush? Idur. Idur is the next one. And nikush, idur, and kisuach. What is idur? Everyone seems to assume that to idur means, la'adir means to hoe. Okay? There doesn't seem to be, what?
Francis says krisus. Krisus ha'asabim harayim.
Idur is krisos?
That's what
or kisua?
No, it calls nikush.
Nikush.
Yeah.
Yeah, nikush is weeding.
It doesn't sound like he's digging it out of the ground. Krisos is
cutting. Yeah, we're not talking about idur. He's talking about nikush.
Nikush.
He's talking about nikush. You just asked a question
about
nikush.
Like he's not taking it out of the ground. He's just cutting it.
Rashi says, me'akir ha'ikayim in akarka, and we're going to see that's maybe what kisuach is. Okay, idur, again, everyone assumes to mean to hoe. Okay, and that's what Rashi says. Chofer talks like a funnel or apuye ara. I mean, you're digging up the ground. Just like nikush is digging up the ground, so too, idur is digging up the ground. That would be one way to look at it. No. That's for kisuach.
Yeah.
Right? No, but we're not up to kisuach. Let's go again. Nikush, we assume, means to weed by taking the weed out of the ground. You're digging up the ground a little bit. Okay? Idur seems to mean to hoe, but if you look at other definitions of idur, okay, idur sometimes can mean to pick, okay? Idur can sometimes mean to pick. It can actually sometimes mean to dig up more directly, okay? Now, he says there's also idud, and given the rarity of this root in Aramaic, the example should be treated either as Hebraisms or as errors, or Hebraizing errors, for adad instead of idur, adad, because... And apparently that was a much more common root in agricultural preparation. But anyways, idur can mean to pick or to dig up. Okay, so maybe weeding, picking, maybe. If not, even if it means to hoe, it's still also a digging action. Yes, but not in Aramaic agriculture. I don't know what it means. I actually didn't look it up because I wasn't so fascinated by this. I just had to bring it to you. But anyways, you can look it up. In Cal, you just type in ayin dalad dalad, and it'll tell you the whole thing over here. Now, kisuach, the third one in this setup, okay, is clearly to cut off or cut away or prune. There's no way about it. A sweep it off, sweep, destroy, do away with it, overpower it, conquer it, right? Kotzim kisuchim, okay? But we do see this word on Tanakh a number of places, you can see. Sirufa va'esh kisucha, right? You have this root in Tanakh, and as a result, we know it means to cut away a plant. Cutting away a plant, what type of plant? Says Rashi again. Basavim shechotech harayim min atovim. Okay, so this is definitely going to be, by the way, this is Targum Unkala says, Tizmor, how do you translate Tizmor? Right? Vishis shenin tichsach karmach. Okay? It's to prune, but again, it clearly means over here, a plant or a weed. As a result, the first three, what combines them? The action of weeding. Either the second one is hoeing and you're digging up, or in all three cases, you're cutting out weeds. Okay, so that's group number one we've covered. Group number two. This one's where it starts to get hard. Now, next one is kirsum, right? It says, minayin mikarsimin. Now, what's the root of lekarsim? Right? In Hebrew, we generally like to say all roots are three letters, although, again, this is a massive machlokas rishonim as to exactly how do all roots have to be three letters. But this is clearly four letters. There's no way getting out. There's a kuf, resh, samach, and mem. So what exactly does kirsum mean? Okay? So if you want to be very Hirschian and compare it to three-letter roots that are the same, right? Rav Hirsch is the one who loves to compare words as all words that sound the same or mean the same thing, and we'll have an even better example of that in a moment, a little bit later, but to be karas, okay, which also comes from karsul. What's a karsul? What? An ankle. No? Right? Yeah. All right. He says over here, karsula, karsula, karsul, karsul. So in Hebrew, he says it means to bend down, stoop, or crouch. So maybe to cut down, maybe? Or maybe to push it down, maybe? Okay, something we can think about. Also, he says in Arabic, it means a disc or a round cake. So maybe rounding something, okay?
She says zimur, except it's talking about bilanot.
Right.
Correct. So we're going to see. We see from some of the Targumim, okay? You see it in, okay, over here. Locusts were known to yikarsem yasei, okay? Okay, so the locust swarm shall gnaw it, or to cut branches. In Syriac, it actually means to cut branches. And again, they bring all these various Syriac sources. It literally means to cut off branches. So this would give us very good linguistic evidence to support Rashi's opinion over here, that kirsum means zimur, just to Ilanos. It literally says cut branches in Syriac. And I guarantee you, they don't know this Rashi. Second of all, even if they knew about this Rashi, they probably wouldn't care about this Rashi, which is unfortunate for them. But you do see that, again, there is some connection here. I'm not sure if you could say something else with karas, and we'll see if this kirsum fits with the rest of the group. What is mizardin? What is zirud? We had this on the previous page. There's really very little on this. In Aramaic, Jewish, Babylonian, Aramaic. Okay? Trimming. Okay? Yeah, and Rashi is mechatech anafim yaveshim vilachim v'sheshtin anafim yoser midai. It's to trim it so that you have a little bit more. Okay, again, it's mekatzitzan biyada, by the way. Rashi says, the Gemara says in Nedarim that, again, it may be cut off with a hand. So we've got kirus, again, means to probably trim in some way. Zirud means to trim in some way. Let's take a look at the next few. What comes after? Mifaskin ba'ilan. What does mifaskin mean? Here we get to a big problem. Okay? So, pisug. Okay? Pisug, in Hebrew, okay, dubious, he says, if correct, to pass between or, okay, split or cut off. Okay? In Aramaic, this is 100% the case. Many of the Targumim, right, have Vesa'ayil tinateach lin sachav viasdichra tafsik lefisguye. Okay? It means to split, to cut into pieces. Okay? Again, you see, there's Echaraba probably is the first one. So too, you have in the yeah, okay, upasag yason bimitzia, which means that which is talking about by the brisbane abisarim, right? That Avram cut them in half. It's upasag, okay? So pasag means to cut. So most likely for this one, we're looking at also another form of trimming, okay? Now, the problem is pisgah, okay? And by the way, I learned a new word, which other people know, portmanteau. You see this last line for JBA, extended note, DJBA. The verb itself may be a portmanteau of pasak and palag. Portmanteau means a new word that's made up of these two words. It's a combination word. There's pasak. What does pasak means? To cut. What is palag? To split. So pasag is like a hybrid word made between the two to cut into palgim, right? Regardless, this is one approach to say it's some form of trimming. And in fact, as we saw, if you look back at the sheet, by the way, you can actually follow along, okay? Take a look at, where is number mefaskin? 7. What does Rashi say? Rashi says in the Gemara Mefaskin, Somchin ha'ilan shu'uran an yoster midai. If the tree is bending over, hold it up. Why does Rashi say that? What is a pisgah? Pisgat ze'ev? What? What is a pisgah, sorry? A peak, right? A peak or a height. So how do you make a tree a peak or higher? You hold it up straight. But look at the Me'iri. How does the Me'iri learn? Much better. Much better for what we're saying. Me'iri says you make a peak out of the tree. There was a practice of chopping off the branches except for the trunk so the trunk will grow more. They would trim it down. It's over here in the footnote number 7 on the last time. We don't have the Me'iri actually on the sheet. But in the footnotes, I put in English what I saw from all those who shown him. So for the Me'iri, right, again, it looks very nice. Pruning, pruning, and pruning. Just the third one is pruning. Now again, some Rishonim even had pisuk, which is even better. Then it's for sure to cut off. But for Rashi, Rashi gets it from pisgah, but it's hard to understand how would this then all fall in the same, in the same category. Additionally, okay, let's think now about which things are preventative versus which things are necessary. Okay, pruning necessary or preventative?
Necessary.
What do you think? I mean, is this something that's going to improve your tree, or if you don't do this, your tree will die?
Improve the tree.
Improvement, right? Improvement, yeah. Usually. Okay?
Get some good stare for me.
Okay? So far, these things that we've seen, weeding, improving. Your stuff will still grow. Won't grow as nicely. You might not get as good, right? But it's not going to die out. If your tree is falling over and you're holding it up, one could argue that that's leaning, pun intended, more towards preservation than improvement. Okay, depending on how it's done. But definitely, I'm a big fan, not that the Me'iri needs my haskama here, but I'm a big fan of this translation of the Me'iri, more so than we see the Mefarish on the page.
Are we talking once a year? Are we talking on a frequent basis?
Again, obviously you have to know that. I can't know what this particular term means, but the way Rashi makes it sound like, Ra'anan yoser midai means too much bent. That means it's in danger of breaking. You're supporting it.
How often are you doing
that? A young sapling that needs help, as opposed to an old, strong tree?
Yeah, so it could mean that. It's probably what it means by ra'anan, to be honest. But that's also, again, what happens if you don't support it? It's going to fall apart and die. I know, that's why I told someone last week. I said, right, you've never seen those metal things holding up the trees on the streets?
Yeah,
it happens
all
the time. But that's necessary. That's necessary. And again, the Tosfos of Rashi we saw last time is bothered. Rashi, how can you say these necessary things are aser? Can't be necessary. So again, this is a strike against the Mefarish, again, and a strike in favor, I think, of the Me'iri. Okay, so that's set number 2.
Isn't that an issue for the Ritva as well?
Why?
The way he says, for improvement? The way he translates?
That's what's usser.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, so he argues with Rashi.
Correct. He's going, meaning if Rashi in fact says this is a real thing, that without this the tree would die, that's why it would be a kasha on Rashi. But Rashi can't deny that, because ultimately at the end of the Gemara it says Avruye Ilan Usser, Stume Pili Shari. Rashi's gonna have to explain that some other way then. Very hard to understand Rashi this way. And again, this is essentially Tosfos of Rashi's kasha on Rashi elsewhere. Okay, let's continue. Okay? Let's continue over here. The last group, okay? Here we are. Mizablin, Mefarkin, Me'avkin, Me'ashnin. Okay, Mizablin, Mefarkin, Me'avkin, Me'ashnin. What does it mean? Lezabel, Lefarek, Le'avek, and Le'ashen. Okay? So let's see what we can do. Okay, again, our goal is we want to keep them consistent. We want to make them not necessary to the survival of the tree. Okay? We want to make them perhaps equally relevant to the Sod and the Kerem. Although I haven't been focusing on that much, knowing that we're more focusing on the Ritva's interpretation here, but definitely that is a consideration as well, and to make it work with the words. So what is Lizabel? Everyone knows to manure, to fertilize, okay? In Tanakh, correct, in Tanakh it actually means the opposite. Hapam yizbeleni ishi. Zvulun, exactly. Okay?
Nice thing, no?
Correct. So it's just interesting that Zevel, exactly, is manure. It's very clearly in Lashon Chachamim going to mean to put Zevel on something. Now, we learned last time, however, that some Rishonim said perhaps the correct Girsa should not be Mizablin, but Meyablin. What does it mean, Leyabel? What's a Yabelet? I wonder if that's the umbilical cord. Yabelet is some sort of growth that damages or hampers the tree, or is ugly at the very least, like a wart maybe of some sort on the tree. So let's keep both of those in mind, either to put manure on the tree, which will obviously improve its growth, that I think is a given, or it means to take off, you can see over here, right? Cutting off damage done by bugs or worms, the Yabelet, which is from the Meiri, the Tosa Rosh says actually removing nests of bugs.
Right,
I think what he's talking about is a... Well, it's a wart.
Or
oh, that's what it says? Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Or a
okay, but anyways, Tosa Rosh talks about these nests of bugs. I think he's talking about a cocoon, the way he describes it, that you had, right? If you think of like a caterpillar, right? It builds a cocoon. It looks like this, you know, this little growth. So what would they do? They'd cut down the bugs, try to get rid of them, okay? Stopping the bugs. Now, some bugs can taka kill trees. Other bugs don't kill trees, right? So we have to know which type of bugs we're talking about. But that's Lizabel or Leabel. What's...
Is Zevel a nice thing or not a nice thing?
So he thinks in Tanakh it's a nice thing. Okay? Right?
That was not her name.
Yeah, but why?
It had to be a nice thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he has over here.
She was fertile. Zevul.
That would be an interesting one. Okay. Also, Zevul, by the way, is a dwelling place, right? Zevul based Tifarteinu. Right? Anyways, fine. But most likely it doesn't. The Mizablin here probably does not come from that. It doesn't mean to build a tree house. It doesn't mean to honor the tree or to worship the tree, Chas v'chalila, as an Asherah. So, fine. What is Piruk? So, we know what Piruk means. What does Piruk mean? To dismantle something, disassemble something, okay? It used to mean a little bit to tear something off. Okay, you can see over here, right? Vaisparaku kala'am esnizmei hazahav, they all tore off their stuff. It doesn't mean, although that's a fascinating idea. Maybe they were made up of pieces and they broke down the pieces. Think of like the watches, right? The different links. So I'm wondering like a necklace that was made up of links. Vaisparaku kala'am says nizmei hazahav. Maybe they like undid them, but it seems to be they tore them off, right? Hisparaku vayitnuli. Anyways, fine. Now, can also go away, leave something off, dismantle. You see all these different things. That's it. Also can mean to take apart. It can also mean to split. Okay, you can see all the different things over here. Unloading. We know, right? Tiina uprika. Okay, but these are interesting words. Now, what does it mean according to the Rishonim? Rashi over here says. Mifarkin avanim shalikariya ilan. He says you're unloading the tree from the stones that are sitting on the branch. Okay, now how is this similar to mizablin?
Where's the branch?
What? Where's branch? Doesn't say branch. What's a branch?
On the roots.
It's on the roots. Oh, sorry, I said branch. My apologies. Oh, yeah, it's on the main roots of the tree. Okay, so again, Mizablin, according to Rashi, is you put Zevel, Bikari Ha'ilan. Mifarkin is you put stones, you remove stones from the Ikari Ha'ilan. Me'avkin is you cover what with Avak? The Sharashe Ha'ilan. And Me'ashnin is you make an Ashan near, presumably, the Sharashe Ha'ilan. According to Rashi, it seems this four is going to be grouped together by where the Avoda is happening on the tree. However, ultimately, there's nothing really tying them together. They're four random things that have nothing to do with each other, other than they're done near the roots of the tree. Okay, that's interesting. I think that's Rashi. For everyone else, let's take a look at Piruk. Okay, what is Piruk over here? Okay, removing stones on the roots of the tree or removing extra leaves that prevent the sun from ripening the fruits. Amiri has this pshat.
So the issue is to probably kill bugs.
Very good. The issue is certainly to kill bugs.
You're preserving the tree. The removal of the stones is allowing air to
come through. So I'm not sure that it won't grow when there's stones there. Maybe it'll grow a little bit better without them. And I think, again, if we're talking about bugs, we're going to have to say these bugs are not bugs that are going to actually kill the tree. There certainly are bugs that kill a tree. There's no question, but we're going to have to say that's not the case. Now, let's continue. What is le'avek? So this is a tough one, and it's something that we saw last time. There's a massive machlokas rishonim. Aruch, on the side, again, the ancient, another Aramaic lexicon, another Gemara lexicon, says, what does it mean? What's me'avkin? And the side, in the Masoras HaShas, you don't have it in there because that's a Steinsaltz, but everyone else has it.
Yeah.
Masoras HaShas, on the side. What does he say? Me'avkin? Misirin ha'avak me'alein. Me'avkin means to take off the avak.
Yes, below.
Okay? What?
Yes, below.
Ah, okay. Misirin ha'avak me'alein. But what does Rashi say? Mechasin oso ba'avak. Okay? We mentioned last time some of the things in favor of the Aruch. Okay? First of all, do you normally cover things in avak? Or you cover them in something else. You cover them in afar, right? Afar is usually used to cover things up. It's a thicker sort of earth. So if something was visible and you wanted to cover it, I would choose to cover it. May I say ma'afrin, if I wanted to say that. I want to say ma'avkin. What? Yeah, maybe. Okay? On the other hand, why exactly would they be dusting trees? Like, you can imagine a guy going with his duster to the tree. It's a little bit weird. But nevertheless, that's the way the Aruch takes it. What's fascinating is, here we have some very interesting ones, and for this, let's take a look at what does avak mean. Where do we have it? In Tanakh. Vayei avek ish imo ad alos hashachar. What? Correct. It's Saro shel Esav. Now, what does vayei avek mean? So we say they got in a dust-up, right? They dusted each other up, right? But really, they got dusty. They were wrestling on the ground. That's what many people say, right? And again, he brings here from Chazal, Ve'be mis'abek ba'afar raglehem. Right? You should be mis'abek, right? Sit at their feet. Very good. Engaged and attached is another meaning. And by the way, okay, this is where I said we're going to get super Hirschian. All of the blank beis kuf are lashonos of attachment, right? What does it mean to be davek? Attached. What does it mean lechabek? To be attached. What does it mean leavek? To attach. So the Meiri has over here, and here, sure enough, in Aramaic, what does it mean? Ume'ayel lehu ve'avik lehu mevak. It means to attach. It mamish means to attach. And the Meiri says, listen to this. Listen to this, Meiri. Meiri says, okay, they would tie a bandage around a cut in a tree, that it should be sealed up. They would be me'avek, they would join it. Okay, now, this mirror is very hard to understand. For what reason? If the tree is cut, and you're fixing its cut, most likely that's not just cosmetic. Most likely there's a concern to the tree if you have to bandage it up. You can imagine like a guy taking, you know, a bandage, tying it around the tree. That seems a little intense. Correct. So if it was just a branch, maybe, but even then, the branch is clearly going to experience a loss. You've clearly lost prevention here. So it's a little bit harder to understand, unless it's just something that looks ugly, maybe. Now, Meiri also brings another perush. Various Rishonim bring this perush. Okay? Is they would put some sort of avak, not avak that we think of afar, like Rashi, but they would put some sort of special spice. Exactly. It puts some sort of special spice. And that is also a possibility as to what the meaning of this is. Again, it would be like they would sprinkle something on it, and apparently it would make the fruits better, says the Meiri and others, says Sarash. Okay? And they would have a whole special mixture of ingredients. That's another possibility. Okay? And then finally, the last one is Me'ashnin. What is Me'ashnin? So two explanations of why they would smoke it. Mefaresh, okay? Ma'ashnin, osan ashtach zilan, kidei sheyinshuru ha-tolaim she'alav, in order to get rid of the tolaim, or He says, smoking the tree to dry out excessive fattiness or moisture. I think I saw from one of the Rishonim, although it's not on here, that again, imagine like a nice incense smoke would make the fruits have like a nice flavor, like impart a nice spice to the tree as well. That's a possibility. So now that we're done this four, let's try to group them together. Yeah. More ripe. Right? If it was excessively...
Stronger.
What? Exactly. Stronger, right?
This is like a sulfur.
And by the way, le'ashen, I will note, even though no Rishonim say this, actually means in Syriac, to make stronger. To make stronger. Fascinating, no? Even though, again, in Tanakh, we know it means to smoke something, to fume something. Okay? But in Aramaic, it actually means to make firm. Yeah.
They used the sulfur.
Yes, yeah, so they used to use these different smokes to, again, either get rid of the bugs, kill the bugs. Now, so let's take a look at what else could combine these. Rashi, we said, combine these four by saying, what? They're all happening at the roots of the tree. What else could we say? Let's say there is one possibility to say these are all ways of taking bad things off the tree. Why? Mizablin, not mizablin, but meyablin. We take off the yaboles. Mefarkin, we take off the stones. Me'avkin, we remove the dust. And me'ashnin, we remove the bugs by smoking them out. Right? That's one. We can also go the flip side. Almost everything here, mefarkin's a little bit hard to say, but mezablin, we put on some zevel to make it grow better. Mefarkin is going to be a little bit harder to explain, but me'avkin, we put on this special avak. Me'ashnin, we improve it with this smoke that we're doing. Perhaps that could also be a common theme, but again, these can go in patterns, as you see.
I'll tell you a little bit of agriculture around vines.
Yeah.
For grapes, they put fertilizer out that keeps the bugs away.
Uh-huh. Both.
So mezavlin could be...
So mezavlin can fit in with all the other ones, which are about bugs, maybe.
Yeah.
Mefarkin, by the way, maybe could mean we pull off the bugs, maybe. Yeah. Right, so that is a possibility. That is a possibility it's a leftover. But it is definitely a possibility. Yeah, that's fair.
Just in terms of chemistry, I don't know. Are you talking about a greater intensification of the carbon dioxide coming?
Most likely not. Most likely they were actually burnt chemicals.
Certain smells.
Right, you mentioned sulfur. Someone here said they used to burn sulfur. Now, carbon dioxide would help. It would help the tree, ironically. Yeah, that's a fascinating suggestion. From a biological perspective, more carbon dioxide is better for the tree. But I don't think the carbon dioxide was ever in shortage, that we needed intensified carbon dioxide around the tree. Now, it's possible it could suffocate the animals. It's also possible that literally they'd go around with a little blowtorch. Oh, nice, some ants. Some caterpillars. But I don't know if that would be referred to as ma'ashnin. Particularly, but again, could be also to strengthen the tree in some way. But it also could be these are just the leftovers. Now, ultimately, there are more avodos that exist. So I'm not sure we want to specifically say these are leftovers, then why are you including all of these? And why are you not including others? I'm sure there are other ones, but maybe these are the leftovers that are done both for Sod and Karen. Okay, these are all possibilities. Now, last one that we have left over here for this year, and we're pretty much at time anyways, is kishkush. What does kishkush mean? So kishkush, again, is something clearly is a Hebrew word. Hebrew is not a Hebrew root because it's four letters. We don't have a Hebrew word for it, although it is a word in Hebrew now, right? Lekashkesh means what? To scribble a little bit, yeah. He has over here from lehakish, kishkush he has over here. So one is the agricultural one, which was hoeing and, you know, clacking around. He has to knock on something in late Jewish literary Aramaic from Targum Yonasan. He would take the cup in his hand and bang on it. I think this is talking about Yosef, what Yosef would do. Okay? He would bang on the cup in order to do nichush. That's what they saw. It's talking about Yosef and his cup. But anyways... kishkush seems to be also something hoeing. What else is hoeing? Idur. And what goes together with kishkush? Lo yakashkesh tachas azesim v'lo yaader tachas agfanim. Go together. They're both different things. They're both the same thing again, right? And kishkush says Rashi, hainu idur. Same thing. Same guy. Elashi idur b'gfanim kishkush b'zesim. Now, as we noted, many Rishonim erase Idur this time, because we had Idur earlier as Asr, now we're saying Idur is Mutter, what's going on? But others resolve it. Anyways, these are sort of the classifications. Correct. The chatter means to go right, have two things hit against each other. Yes, lepatpet, lekashkesh. But I think also with the scribbling is the same, right? It's an onomatopoeia, is that the word? We used to have, there used to be the show Clifford, and I remember Clifford, but onomatopoeia, there was a song, the dog, there was a dog when I was a kid. We never used to get to watch TV because my parents didn't have a TV. When we go to my grandparents, we got to watch VHS Clifford. So onomatopoeia was there. It's a funny word with a funny idea. So it's, again, words that come from sound. So kishkush would be one of them. Ultimately, again, there are no hard and fast rules. What we see is that there definitely are many different possibilities, but we are able to organize these into groupings that make sense, each grouping, how they're connected, that fit our criteria from the Ritva primarily, okay, that again, each grouping fits. They're all toldos of Shemitah, they're all asuros. However, they're not things that are 100% going to keep the thing alive. It's not necessarily going to keep the thing alive, because if that was the case, it was going to die otherwise. Again, it's very hard to understand how that wouldn't be mutter based on what Chazal tell us. If these only derabanans for pseda are mutter. So again, unless there's a tircha yasera maybe involved, that would probably be some of the explanations for the ones, again, of Rashi and others. They'd probably say, okay, maybe this is tircha yasera, so even makom pseda didn't let it. Whatever the case may be, we'd have to explain this. But ultimately, this helps us understand what's going on in the Gemara. Many Rishonim again went through these. There are other shittos again that didn't make it on this list because they printed this without my updates from last week. But it is very interesting to see, and hopefully this is again a little bit of a change from what we're used to. And then next week we will continue. So next week is Tinus Esther. So we'll have to figure out how we're going to do things.
So if you want,
so we'll have pizza. Okay. What time do we want to daven and learn? I'm assuming, when's the shul davening next week?
It's at 7:40.
7:40 davening mincha?
No, Marv.
Like Marv at 7:40?
Yeah, it's in the bulletin. Today they have the new bulletin.
Yeah, seems about right.
Yeah. 1 second.
It's early. No, because it's not Shabbos. Yeah. It's a
Tanis. No, 7:40 seems a little on the early side. They just sent out the thing today,
it's
no?
It's in the bulletin. 7:15 maybe.
Yeah. Here, buy a Shabbos bulletin. Fast is over 8:09, really? So early? No.
Something like that. I mean, it's so early. Well, you can say Kriyat Shema today after 8:09 Abisa.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I missed it. I guess I'm just thinking that it's far away, but it's really not far away. Okay, here's the bulletin. Yeah, it's in a week, so maybe Taka. And let me just see what the bulletin says. And do you want to start after Marav then? Do people want to eat for four shir? And do you want to shir on Purim stuff or not?
I'm just asking myself
what about Purim?
Are you talking about Purim stuff or Purim Torah?
No. Real Torah on
the
Purim.
The rabbi just gave a shir. Amalek Bizman is a...
Amalek Bizman Azeh. I have some stories on that. Anyways, okay, so we'll continue with